It's been a hard day's night, and I've been working like a dog. It's been a hard day's night, I should be sleeping like a log. But when I get home to you, I find the things that you do will make me feel alright. You know I work all day to get your money to buy a thing, and it's worth it just to hear you say you're gonna give me everything. So why on earth should I moan? 'Cause when I get you alone, you know I feel okay. When I'm home, everything seems to be right. When I'm home, feeling you holding me tight, tight, yeah. It's been a hard day's night, and I've been working like a dog. It's been a hard day's night, I should be sleeping like a log. But when I get home to you, I find the things that you do will make me feel alright.
Yes, Dubai Today with myself, Alex, and Naima in the studio as well. Talking about sleeping, are you sleeping all night like a log? Are your children sleeping all night like a log? Well, it doesn't sound like it because we've got plenty of messages coming in. This is one that must be so difficult to deal with. My daughter is waking up around midnight every night and starts screaming. The moment we hold her, she's fine, she's calm, she goes back to sleep. But when we ask her about it in the morning, she has no idea. She completely isn't aware. Is that a regular thing? It's not the first time I've heard something like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's not sort of extremely uncommon at the same time. They're more commonly known as night terrors. What's really sad is the daughter has absolutely no idea that she's doing this. But I think the parents are handling it in a very appropriate way, because one of the last things you want to do is reinforce that. So in the middle of the night, if you're always going to be there to reassure them and comfort them, and because they're very unconscious to a certain extent, they're at another level of their sleep cycle. They're at what sleep sort of specialists call stage 3 or stage 4 of their sleeps, and that's why they're not aware. That's why she wakes up and she has no idea that she's even done this.
So it's not causing her any anxiety during the day or damage.
No, just most of sort of night terrors are linked to being overtired. So that's, you know, this child is probably not getting enough rest perhaps during the day. That might be a good place. Naps might be a good way to sort of start to prevent those to a certain extent. Just getting enough rest, you know, naps during the day, reasonable bedtime. Any external stressors can obviously trigger this as well. And sometimes these are linked to things like sleep apnea, which a pediatrician would be very, very good to solve some of these, you know, breathing difficulties. That's pretty much how they wake up, with the intense stress or when they're something else is going through their life, so they're reaching a new developmental milestone. But these parents don't have too much to worry about. It's not like this child is going through anything severe, and they will grow out of it as a phase.
Okay. Oh, yeah. That sounds good. We've got another question that I actually feel I might be able to answer. Mm-hmm. This one, even without any training. Hi, both of my teens sleep too late and wake up late and remain lazy all day right into the afternoon, and then they become active till 3 a.m. What can we do? Don't let your kids go to bed at 3 a.m. Take the phones, take the computer, take the TV, send them to bed at 10 o'clock, and if they're bored, they'll go to sleep.
Fair enough.
Right?
Well answered, Alex. And I think another thing to just add to that is also keep them structured during the day. I know of sort of 19, 20, 21-year-olds who, you know, their parents are still sort of structuring to a certain extent their day, not in a very sort of overly smothering kind of way, but just in terms of making sure that they're waking up at 10, they've got some gym activity in there, they've got an extracurricular activity in there, they've got, you know, an extra course that they're taking, because you know what, they're going to start in September. It'd be wonderful if they were exposed to a little bit more academic work just to prepare them for the start of the next year. But the idea is to give them a little bit of structure, especially because they are teenagers. They're going to appreciate a little bit more of that routine. If they're not getting up to do anything, that's why they're going to sleep in. Mm. You know, that's sort of catch 22.
And what is it about boys? Boys, as soon as they're like late teens and early 20s, they just don't get up till about 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
In the afternoon, yeah. So I guess it's pretty common across all cultures then. Yes, very, very normal.
Which brings us on to a good question, actually, that sort of relates. My daughter's nearly 3 years old, and I've been trying to finish off her midday nap before she starts school. She sleeps at 9 p.m., but she's waking up around 5 every morning and then doesn't sleep all day. I don't know how to get her to sleep through the night. That I thought she was having midday naps.
Yeah, I mean, it seems as though she is sleeping throughout the night from 9 p.m. to 5, but I think this parent seems to be a little bit concerned that she's waking up at 5 as opposed to perhaps 7, which would be the most ideal for a 3-year-old. But
mind
at the same
time, 5's when it's getting light, so.
Yeah, you can't really blame them. You know, when the light comes up, you're allowed to be awake to explore the rest of the world.
Let's live somewhere dark when we have kids, okay?
Yeah, and I think as long as she's getting enough sleep, and it does seem like she is between the naps and her 9 to 5, as long as she's supplementing that with a nap, her daughter is getting enough sleep. As she grows older, she's going to be exposed to more activities, which is going to exhaust her. Mm. So they are going to sleep a little bit longer. But, you know, I do know of 6-year-olds that still wake up even during the summer days, you know, at 6 o'clock in the morning, and their parents are up with them at 6 o'clock in the morning, and the parents put them to sleep at 7 o'clock at night.
I know adults who get up at 5 and 6 o'clock in the morning, and I just think that's mad, bonkers.
Yeah. How do they do that?
Yeah, I can't do it. Huh? We were talking earlier about the effects of television and ADHD. So we had a question asking, where can I get more information regarding the connection between television at a young age and ADHD for toddlers under 3?
Sure. So if you just Google ADHD and the American Academy of Pediatrics, as well as sort of just keywords under 3 years, you should be able to come up with plenty of websites that'll give you, and the most legitimate would obviously be the American Academy of Pediatrics.
And that's something that they've discovered more recently?
To a certain extent. It's been around for the last at least 7 years, if I'm not mistaken. Mm. But it's sort of come into light a lot more in the last few years. And there are parents who still say, well, I know that there is value in an iPad, for example, because there are educational games and activities and all of that, even on TV. I'm not opposed to that, but I do think that if you do want to subject them to that little bit of academic head start, preschool readiness skills, make sure it's limited and it's not sort of hours and hours in front of the TV.
Yeah. We're going to move on to child anxiety, but we'll just finish off with the messages. Maria texts back and she said, thank you for answering my SMS. Her 8-month-old boy is bottle fed every 5 to 6 hours, and she gives him a little bit of solid food as well, but at night he wakes up twice to be fed. How can she start training him not to have milk at night? Should she actually let him cry?
Well, thing is, he is 8 months, which is quite young, so he actually may need that milk, you know, twice during the night. I think that she should hold off just allowing him to have that milk because he is quite young. I think by the time the child is 1 year, she can expect that to, by and large, start to decrease, perhaps not twice a night, to once a night. Mm-hmm. But I don't think at this point that she should sort of let him just cry it out, because he's really quite young.
Mm. Yeah, 8 months is young, isn't it? You sort of don't think about it. Okay, moving on then to child anxiety, which is something I don't even like thinking about.
Yeah,
you know, children being anxious is not a great thing. What do we need to look for then? What are some of the signs that your child might be anxious, and when can we start to recognize these things? At what sort of age?
Sure. So there's basically 3 types of childhood anxieties that you would consider when you're talking about children. The first is separation anxiety, and it really happens at a very, very early age. You're now talking 18 to 24 months. But it's this deep-seated fear that something bad is going to happen to perhaps the family members. Being apart from their family is just so, so scary to these children. They may actually get very real stomach aches or headaches or even diarrhea. But the idea is the pain comes from their brain, from their mind, and not from their organic systems. A second type of sort of phobia/anxiety is social phobia. And this is where children are extremely uncomfortable with social aspects. So hanging out with friends, peers, going to school. They often become socially mute, when just when they're outside, when they're at home, they're perfectly normal. And again, they may refuse to go to school. And the third type could be generalized anxiety disorder. So this is the type of child that gets anxious about everything. This is the type of child that'll say, you know, how did you do in soccer? They say 2 goals, and you say, that's great, but yeah, I'm really worried about my spelling test tomorrow. There's constant worries. And you're wondering, where do children get this from? And so much of it is from their parents. So such a big percentage is from their parents, unfortunately. A study from Yale University said that children tend to have 2 negative words for every positive word. So mad and sad versus happy, angry and frustrated versus calm. And they're getting this from their environment, not just their parents, but it's their parents, perhaps their peers, their teachers. The world, unfortunately, is hardwired like that to be a little bit more negative than positive. So parents have to try and make this conscious effort to replace these negative words with much more positive words and sort of provide coping statements. So even if you can see your child is upset, it's important to say, look, I can see that you're really worried, but you seem really brave to have asked your friend to do something. Right? So it's labeling the worry, acknowledging the feeling, but also giving them a positive coping statement and not just leaving it with, wow, you look so upset and worried.
Can children, in fact, I'm gonna ask you this question and leave the answer for a little while. Can children suffer from depression?